Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Miner. This weekly no-fluff mindset show arms you with the practical tools you need to get unstuck so you can get exactly what you want out of life. Remember, when you change your mind, your life will follow. Let's get into today's episode. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Unstuck Podcast. Thank you all so much for being here, as always. Today, we have a special guest here to talk more about finding confidence and self-trust, which I just absolutely love both of those topics, but also think both of those are so missing, so absent in the general population of women today. And they're also transformative once you can find that in yourself. So I'm excited to have you listen in on my talk with Amy Pamensky. She is actually someone I recently came across, and we've kind of connected over the past few weeks. And our stories are so similar. She also is someone who became a nutritionist, started being able to see how using food as medicine was a really important tool for both herself and other people, but then also realized it wasn't it. That wasn't all there was to the story of getting truly healthy and happy again. And this is when she, like myself, turned to mindset work, turned to working more and uncovering more of her stories, her limiting beliefs, what she viewed about herself and life in general, and was able to do some transformation within herself to now find this place of happiness and ease and peace and calm and health and presence and purpose and all that stuff that we talk about here on the Unstuck Podcast. So before we get into today's episode, let me give you a little background on Amy. Amy Pamensky is a speaker, mindset coach, and facilitator. She has supported hundreds of women to overcome self-doubt and create unshakable confidence. Her mission is to empower women to create a life filled with passion, purpose, and joy. Amy uses her signature Discover Your Confidence methodology to support women to break through their fears, listen to their intuition, and confidently take action towards their dreams. All right, let's hear from Amy. Amy, thank you so much for coming on the Unstuck Podcast today.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much for having me here.
I'm super excited to chat with you. I think we both kind of happened upon each other, and we have such similar stories and backgrounds and transformation of what we have been through and what we're where we're at now. And now we're teaching it to all the as many people really as we can get our hands on. And it's such important information. So I'm just so excited to have someone on the show that's really been through a similar transition and a similar story. So, and I think that a lot of our listeners today are on that same journey themselves too right now. So being able to share what you've been through is going to be so helpful for the women listening today. So with that, I'd love if you could take a few minutes just to introduce yourself, tell everyone who you are, where you've been, what you're doing now, how you got there, all that good stuff.
Amazing. Thank you. And I do feel that right now there are so many women who are searching and their souls are seeking this information, and it's not by chance that it's right now. And I do feel as though right now is a really beautiful time for women to rise and rise together and like really get to know who they are at their core. And that can be really healing both on an emotional level, but also for physical health as well. And that's really been part of my journey. So for those of you who are new to me and my work, my name is Amy and I am an intuitive mindset coach. And my journey started, my career path started as a holistic nutritionist and a health coach. So the reason why I got into that, like many people who are in the health space, I had personally struggled with a lot of digestive issues, autoimmune conditions, hormone imbalances, and really found that my health was getting in the way of my life, of my everyday life, of my social life, of the way I felt about myself. I was struggling with, you know, skin rashes and eczema on my face and feeling like I couldn't control my weight and just feeling really self-conscious. And really a lot of my mindset and like what was going on in my head was so much time and energy spent on figuring out like how to heal and why I was feeling that way and just really depressed around, you know, not feeling like I had control. And that's really where I found my first nutritionist. I started to work with a nutritionist and I was recommended to her. And it was the first time where I really felt like I was more empowered around my health. It was the first time where I wasn't just going to a doctor who was saying, here, take this, or we don't actually know what's wrong with you, even though we've run all the tests, like there's nothing there. And I knew that there was something wrong because I wasn't feeling good and I could feel that in my body and I knew that something was off and none of the recommendations that they had given were really satisfying or really supporting me. So going to a nutritionist for the first time, learning about food as healing, learning how to use food for healing was really empowering. And that definitely supported me in the beginning part of my healing journey. What I found as a nutritionist, as well as in my own journey, that food can get you only so far, exercise can get you only so far, but if your mind is toxic and if you're constantly saying negative things to yourself and if you're not feeling aligned in the other areas of your life, your career, your relationship, your lifestyle, if there's something off, it is an energetic frequency or something that's actually impacting your physical health as well. So while you can get to a certain point with the, you know, nutrition and exercise and using food as medicine, I do believe that the emotional stress is just as harmful as some of the toxic foods that you may have been consuming before. And that was really my journey. I found that even though I had tried everything, I felt like I went down the rabbit hole of every single alternative health option, acupuncture, going to naturopathic doctors, working with Chinese medical doctors, like really, you know, committed to my healing and feeling like I was kept getting stuck. And at that time, I had really cut out so many foods from my diet that it started to be a mental game for me. At first, it was really easy for me to do an elimination diet or a candida cleanse. But after years of just taking out more foods and taking out more foods, I actually started to rebel. Like my mind wanted and started craving all of the foods that I couldn't have. Mm-hmm. And part of that was because it was so restrictive, but the other part was also that I was unhappy and I was using food for emotional coping. And it felt very challenging as a nutritionist who knew all of what I should be doing, who knew all of the guidelines and the meal plans and all of that, and just like feeling like I was failing or feeling like I couldn't be successful and that I was self-sabotaging, really. And that was the hardest part, was being out of integrity with myself when I knew what I could be doing, but I just wasn't doing it. So I remember even from when I was really young, my mom would say like, why are you, like, you don't have to be so hard on yourself. And that was really the tape that was playing for most of my life, was never enough. Nothing was ever enough. I wasn't smart enough. I would always compare myself to other people. And especially around my body, I was so hard on myself. I like didn't want to wear shorts. I was, you know, pick myself apart in the mirror. When I would look at photos with friends, I would always compare myself. And it was really not a positive place to be. And it really affected my friendships and relationships. So fast forward to when I discovered that there is a connection between the mind and body. And the way that I actually discovered that for myself was I went on vacation and all of a sudden, a lot of my symptoms went away. My blood sugar was fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't get bloated when I was eating. I was like, had regular digestion. And I was like, wait, this is so weird. There's something different. And I realized that it was my stress, that when I was not in my home environment doing my day-to-day things, that my body actually was healing and it was feeling a lot better. And so that was the light bulb moment of recognizing that there was something else I could be doing, that there was an emotional stressor that was flaring up my symptoms and making me even more sensitive to the foods that I was eating. And that was a really big turning point. So I studied eating psychology and became an eating psychology coach and got really into the mind-body connection and mindfulness and mindful eating and intuitive eating and understanding how food relates to the body. And I started to see some really big parallels between, you know, what was going on in my life at the time, which at the time I was married, I, you know, was running my own business. And while everything looked great on paper, I was feeling like there was something missing. And I had this internal battle of, why can't I just be happy? Like, what's wrong with me? And eventually got to the place of recognizing that my relationship and the lifestyle that I was creating was actually not in alignment with my truth, and that I felt really trapped and like I was playing small. And through a series of deep dives spiritually and diving into my meditation practice and learning how to listen to my intuition and working with healers and coaches, I really got to a place of recognizing that I couldn't just keep trying to make everyone else happy, my parents happy, my partner happy, until I was happy. And that trying to make everyone else happy was not going to make me happy. And that was really a breaking point as well for me. So I found my own spirituality, and I see that not necessarily in a religious way, but more as like a faith in something greater. And that really opened up everything for me. And as soon as that happened, as soon as I got divorced, while the process was extremely challenging and really painful, I started to feel healthy and I started to lose weight, and I wasn't eating differently. I wasn't exercising differently. And I was really taking the time to connect with myself each day. And everything started to change in my life. My relationships, my business started to take off. And as I incorporated more emotional intelligence and spirituality into my coaching practice, my clients who were taking 6 months to see results were now taking 1 to 3 months to see results, because it was a whole incorporating both the mindset with the nutrition as well. So that is my journey. And here I am today, 2 years after I got divorced. I'm in a relationship that is what I was dreaming of and what I really desired when I was married, what I knew was possible deep down. And my business is, I couldn't be more happy with what I do and feel like I'm in perfect alignment with my soul purpose right now. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey. It's been a challenging journey. And I'm also grateful for all of those challenges, because like you said in the intro, I now get to share that with other women. And my work really revolves around rebuilding confidence and rebuilding self-trust. So intuition and confidence is really what I feel a lot of women are disconnected to, and what stops women from going after their dreams or creating a life that makes them happy and really standing in their truth and following their soul purpose. So that's where I'm at as far as the mindset coaching and what I love and what I'm super passionate about. And I just love bringing women together. I think there's so much power in women rising together and women growing together and having the right support where other women really get you and understand you and you don't feel alone in the journey. Because I know that so many people feel alone in their body image journey or on their food journey. And I really think that the power of community is very, very impactful. So I work with clients both in group settings because of that. I run events when we're able to run events. I have in-person events. And then I also love working one-on-one and doing deep dives in that way as well.
Oh my gosh. Nobody can see this, but if you could see the amount of times that I was nodding my head during that entire talk. I mean, so much of that resonates so deeply with me and my own personal journey, but then also I know with the women listening right now, and I feel like there's a lot of women who, I mean, surely can relate to at least part of that story, but I think a lot of women are in that place right now where they can see, you know, they're kind of doing that deep dive as in like, I know it's not just about food and exercise. I know there's something else greater. I know there's a reason why I'm not as happy as I could be. Like they're really starting to unravel it all. And then that was definitely a huge part of your journey. So I'd love for you to share a little bit more about that place. So for you, it kind of, and we can get into a little bit more about your marriage that wasn't right for you and the divorce that took place, because I think that was a really pivotal moment for you. But what was it that really got you, like, how did you get to that point where you could see like, oh, this isn't it. Like, this isn't what's right. Like, it takes a lot of internal work, I think. And it almost feels like there's a lot of women that are almost scared to do that work. You know, they're scared to really dive in and to really uncover and unravel all of that. And it seems also for you, like there was just a lot of limiting beliefs, as there are with all of us. And a lot of times it is also scary and hard to do that work as well. So what did that whole muck, that's what I call it, is like working through that muck, what did that look like and feel like to you?
Yeah, so it definitely didn't happen overnight. Right, it wasn't, yes, like I woke up one day and I was like, I have the answer, I get it. Yes. It was a gradual progression of, I think it first started as feeling unsure or afraid, and then really started to get into the space of feeling restless and unfulfilled and really feeling lost at times, really, of like, wait, I thought this is what I was supposed to want. I thought this is what would make me happy. And here I am with everything that, you know, that a woman could want or should want, essentially, that we've been taught by society would make us happy. And, you know, owning a house, being in a relationship, being married. And, you know, there I was at age 27 and just really unhappy. So I think that there were a lot of different, and I do believe that as we go through our spiritual journey, that there are different signs that are given to us, as well as messages that are sent to us in many different forms. It could be that someone recommends a book for you to read, or you meet a mentor or a coach that, you know, really speaks to you at a certain time, and it opens up new understandings about yourself. And this is really a journey back home to your authentic self, which is truly happy and is unconditionally loving. That's the core of who we are. And most of my self-talk was not that. Most of my self-talk was negative, and most of it was being really hard on myself. So I would say that the journey starts by taking a look at your relationship with yourself, mm-hmm, and how you talk to yourself and how you treat yourself and how it is that you are, like, who are you being with yourself in that relationship? Because you can't change your external circumstances. You can't change other people, but what you can do is start to work on that inner conversation that you're having every single day with yourself from the time you wake up to the time that you go to sleep. And that's really where my journey started, is taking a look at, you know, what was that self-talk like? Where can I bring in more self-compassion? Where can I take a look at, you know, why I don't believe in myself, or why I don't think that I can do things? And that comes down to what you were saying before about the limiting beliefs, is those are deeply rooted from our childhood. And we all have limiting beliefs that come from, that are created usually from the ages of 0 and 7, but they can happen later on in life as well. And, you know, we come into this world as loving beings, as innocent children, as curious children. And along the way, the spiritual path is that, you know, something happens. Either there's something in your family or something with one of your parents. It could be traumatic. It could be, you know, something, just a reoccurring pattern where you didn't feel loved, or you felt like you weren't good enough. You felt like you had a lot of pressure on you. It really varies, the experiences. And then that sticks with you. And that's the way that you tend to perceive the world and perceive yourself. And so it does take going deeper into those layers. And it is scary. It's really challenging, because your mind is going to try and keep you safe. It's going to try and keep you doing the same things and not make a change, because it's programmed for survival and it's afraid of the unknown. So these are deeper layers that definitely I didn't do it on my own at first. There were a lot of parts that I did, but I do feel like people, if you're afraid of going there, that there's so many amazing resources, therapists, coaches, mentors, communities where you can have that support and that you don't actually have to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So important. And I think really the biggest takeaway is to just not ignore it. You know, I think there's so many women out there who are unhappy, who don't feel like it's the right path, but yet they, instead of leaning into it as you did, they almost back away even further from it and disconnect even further from themselves and their true internal being and purpose. And that's really when things start getting even more stuck, as we say here on the Unstuck podcast. So I know one of the places that you felt most stuck was in your marriage. So would you mind sharing more about that experience? And, you know, I know it's so difficult to go through that, but it turns out that that was really part of the reason why you were feeling, you know, energetically and physically and emotionally stuck. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that you just said that I think is really key is that the messages get louder when you don't listen. And for me, that was actually in the form of physical symptoms. I started getting even worse digestive issues, and I started getting, you know, just different health symptoms that my body was speaking to me. It was like, hey, there's something going on here. So those are some of the signs that people can see. Other signs that you know when there's something out of alignment is, you know, anxiety or depression are very big markers, or feeling super stressed or low energy all the time. So those are some things that people can look out for. And, you know, when I talk about my divorce, I really, you know, want to speak to that. It wasn't just the relationship that was out of alignment. It was that I had followed a path up until then that I didn't really consciously choose. I had just followed the path that was the regular path of going to college. And there was these unspoken expectations of, you know, meeting someone and getting married. And especially from my cultural background, my parents are South African. I grew up in a Jewish culture, Jewish religion, and there's a very strong desire and almost like a expectation. It is an expectation that you marry someone of the same faith or the same religion. Mm-hmm. And so that's essentially what I did. I went down the path that I thought I was supposed to. And in that time, I wasn't checking in with myself, like, is this what makes me happy? And I do want to point out that not everything about the relationship wasn't working. And that was why it was so hard to leave, because it was like, oh, this is comfortable. This is easy. This, you know, feels good in certain ways. Yet I know that there's something greater. There was something within me that was just feeling. And it was a value misalignment, essentially, that it came down to. You know, my heart and my soul were desiring a lot of growth and a lot of freedom and deeper conversations and deeper relationships in our lives, not just with my ex-husband, but with the people that we were surrounding ourselves by. And really, I didn't want to live this fear-based life where everything was methodically thought out, and if it didn't add up perfectly, then we wouldn't do it. And it felt very suffocating and limiting in a lot of ways. And also, you know, families being deeply involved in a relationship, which is pretty common in certain cultural backgrounds and a lot of cultural backgrounds. And so while none of it was necessarily bad, it definitely didn't feel good for me in a lot of ways. And I questioned if I was like constantly thinking, is the grass always green? Am I just thinking that the grass is greener on the other side? Mm-hmm. Am I making this up? Am I crazy? Like, there were so many times where I questioned myself and doubted myself and had to build that trust within myself that, oh, actually there is something else that I want, and I can give myself permission to want what I want, and that I don't have to keep going down this path that is what other people want for me, but that I can actually create my own path, which I think essentially is what I was desiring at the core.
Mm-hmm. So true. And also along your journey, you shared that, you know, you had some body image issues, some negative self-talk throughout your growing up phase. And then now as you have kind of transitioned and learned more about your intuition and your spirituality, your own spiritual journey, has that just kind of, did you find at least that it kind of naturally dissipates? Like, it's just something that kind of was able to transform along with you, you know, the feelings about your body, but then also, you know, restricting food and you know, having to eliminate more and more and more foods where you were at with your healing journey. That's how I was too. But then as you find this greater purpose, this greater sense, what transformed there?
Yes. I struggled so badly with body image. And I think that all women do, because we have these messages, subliminal messages, really, we're like brainwashed and programmed from, you know, I remember in middle school was the first time that I started noticing my body, especially, you know, going through hormonal changes and just really being unhappy in my body and wanting it to look different. And I was very athletic and I was muscular and I would go to like sports practice and then I would go to dance classes, and I was a dancer for most of my life growing up. And I think women who are dancers and gymnasts, I mean, I think there is so much pressure. I would always see that the women who were like the thinnest would get the main role. And I would feel so bummed out and feel like, you know, I'm never going to be able to be that way. And, you know, when we're focused so much on the body, we're focused on the self. And once you start to go down the path and the journey of recognizing that you're here for a greater purpose, you start to focus outwards a lot more. And I'm not going to say that you never focus on what you look like, because we're human and we all have an ego, and we do want to feel put together and feel good in our bodies. And that's okay. But when it's an obsession and when it takes up like 90% of your mind space and it's really, you know, taking up a lot of your life, you start to realize like, wow, I could actually be using all of that energy in a different direction for something else. And it's interesting, as you go through a spiritual journey, cellularly, I think that the body actually does start to change and it responds differently, because you're not holding on to all of this emotional baggage and all of this stress that has been stuffed down and not dealt with, because you're working through that and you're learning how to navigate your emotions differently. And I do believe that emotions get stored in the body and that they create energetic blockages, which then creates, you know, hormone imbalances or holding on to fat more easily. And so I do feel like there were shifts physiologically that happened. And I really love, I think it's Wayne Dyer who talks about this, where he talks about that as humans, we spend 99% of the time thinking about our bodies or our physical beings, but we are actually spiritual beings, and only 1% of who we are is actually our body. And 99% of who we are is our essence and our gifts and our personality and a soul that's here to live out a mission of some sort in some way. And that really helped me to take a zoom out and look at, wow, like we're so attached to the physical body, but there's so much more to life and there's so much more to us as beings. And the more that you can start to develop that deep loving relationship with yourself and really build up your self-worth and bring your value out into the world and trust your value, then you spend a lot less time. You don't even have as much time to think about, you know, what's going on just in your body. You're really, there is a greater vision that comes online.
Oh, it's so true. I could not agree more. Really, it's the same thing happened to me. It was this place where once I started paying more attention to my inner being, then, you know, my physical form kind of was able to release and relax and let go and find where it was most comfortable. And it didn't take any, you know, added, really any changes, I guess, to anything that I was doing, except for where my attention was and where my energy was put towards. And it made all the difference in the world. And then it really just becomes this place where your outer being is always going to match up with your inner being. And if we're really taking the time to connect and pay attention and grow and expand from our inner being, then, you know, the outer alignment will just naturally occur, which I have found to be the case for me, but also many of the women I work with. And it's kind of fascinating in a way, because of how much, like you said, how much time and energy we've spent focusing on from a very young age our physical bodies. And then when it actually comes down to just like releasing that attention and energy, what can actually happen? It's so cool to see. So let's move into this, where you have found to be a passion for you is teaching women or empowering women, I guess, to build confidence in themselves. And as we talked about before we started recording, gosh, confidence is severely lacking in women today. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the reason why I'm teaching confidence, because after 7 years of being, you know, a coach and working with women, I just see that, and I work with a lot of ambitious women, women who know that there's something greater and they're really striving towards becoming better humans and healthier and happier. And like they have that drive and desire. And I find that even though they have a desire to be better and do better, that the thing that stands in the way the most of them actually taking action is confidence. And a lot of the mindset blocks that come up, or the patterns at least, are things like self-sabotage, procrastination. A lot of women feel like they have imposter syndrome, like who am I to say that? Or, you know, I'm not worthy of being in this group or saying this thing. And, you know, there's a lot of imposter syndrome. Those are some of the top, you know, obviously there's self-doubt, and those are some of the patterns that below the surface underneath that there's all these negative thoughts and beliefs that are fueling those patterns. So mm-hmm. I do believe that the mindset work, I believe that anything that you want to do in your life, whether you want to start a business, whether you want to have better health, whether you want to be in a certain type of relationship, that like you can do that. And it actually starts with your mind. And when I ask most women what's holding them back from reaching their goals, they'll say, I am. Like, I'm holding myself back. And they know. So yeah, confidence, you know, the way that confidence is, when if we were even break down the word, because I think it's just like a common English word that we know, and like a lot of women want to have it because they know, they see what it would feel like. They see other people showing up and doing the things that they want to do, but they're not able to do them. Or they see a woman walk in the room and she looks magnetic and she's, you know, people want to be around her. And that's what women desire, is to, you know, to want to be magnetic or attractive, or people want to like be in your presence and they want to have an impact. So, you know, confidence is something that can, that when we look at what it actually means, is it's a belief in yourself. Like, it's the level and the amount that you believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. And if your self-talk is constantly, I don't know how, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm unlovable, I'm unwanted, you know, all of that talk is going to keep you staying in a low level of belief in yourself. So building your confidence is about building your belief in yourself. And there's three main areas that I look at there. I look at self-love, self-worth, and self-trust. And self-trust I look at as intuition. So like really listening to your truth and hearing what it is that your soul is telling you, and then having the courage and confidence to go after that. And I think that those are some of the core foundations that need to be in place that we can work on in order to create a better relationship with yourself so that you actually believe in yourself more.
Mm-hmm. So part of that process then, maybe, you know, the first piece to the puzzle is it kind of recognizing these stories that we have that are basically keeping us from ever feeling like we could be confident, ever feeling secure, ever feeling worthy, all of these stories that we tell ourselves over and over again. Do we have to uncover those and kind of get to the bottom of them?
Yeah. So I usually start there, is taking a look at the limiting beliefs and getting to the bottom of them. And This is an interesting question because I actually had a woman in one of my sessions last week and she was like, yeah, but I don't know exactly where my limiting beliefs come from. And she was so stuck on this idea that if she didn't figure that out, then she couldn't heal and couldn't move forward, which I don't believe is true. So we have to just be really careful of not being overly attached to having to have all of the answers in order to move forward. I do believe that when you are ready to look at these things, when you're ready and when you're able to look at these things, they will come up. So it's like an onion. It's like peeling off the layers. And that's why it's a spiritual journey that is your entire lifetime, because we're constantly peeling back these layers of who we're not, unlearning all of the beliefs and thoughts that are not who we truly are. And then at the same time, building up who we truly are, which is love, and is, you know, we're all valuable. We all have unique gifts to offer, and working with those two simultaneously. So I definitely, when we bring awareness to the limiting beliefs, because they're subconscious, they're below the surface, we don't actually often know that they're happening, which is why they keep holding you back. Because if you knew what they were at first, then you would likely be able to work with them. But these are subconscious beliefs. So there's a lot of, you know, journaling and different coaching methods to really support in getting below what you can currently see. And then we bring them up to the surface, to the conscious mind, to then start to shift those patterns. And the most powerful way to shift your subconscious mind is through repetition and consistency, which is also something that I find that women struggle with, is like really feeling like they can't be consistent, which is a whole nother mindset conversation as well. So yeah, definitely starting with taking a look at the limiting beliefs and looking at a question that I like to have women ask themselves or to write down is, how would you currently describe your relationship with yourself? And that question alone will give you a lot of information about how you think, how you feel about yourself. And then from there, what I like to work on is a lot of self-compassion. So if you had your best friend or your mom who was feeling that way, what would you say to her? How would you speak to her? How would you treat her? And start to rebuild the relationship by using someone else as an example, because it's easy for us to be compassionate to other people. We're naturally nurturing and giving and caring. Yet when it comes to ourselves, we just haven't learned that. We haven't trained ourselves or taught our minds how to be in a loving relationship with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about how you view self-love and how you teach self-love. We've talked about it here on the show quite a bit. It's really important. I think the listeners are really getting the point that it's not like a conceited thing. It's not an egotistical thing. It's not something that you have to be perfect before you can love yourself kind of thing. It's the opposite. And it's, you know, an essential piece of being a woman and being able to find that undeniable self-love. So I'd love for you to share what you do with your clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree that self-love is not about waiting until you have everything figured out. Self-love is really being unconditional with yourself, whether you succeed, whether you know, it takes you longer than you thought it would take, whether you take a few steps back and then have to take a few steps forward. Like, self-love is definitely loving yourself in all of that. And the journey to self-love, loving yourself, like a woman who loves herself will make choices that make her happy, which for some people feel like that's selfish. However, when a woman is actually happy, she can shine her light and share her gifts, and she can be even more loving to the people around her. And the people who don't get that are going to criticize, and they're going to have their own judgments and opinions. And in that case, I say, well, what type of people do you want to surround yourself by? Do you want to be with people who are supportive and loving and want you to be happy? Or do you want to be around people who are self-interested and have, you know, their own desires greater than yours? And it is a challenging conversation to have. And also, if someone, you know, is opposed to you doing what makes you happy, then that's something that we get to look at too. So Yeah, self-love is all about your relationship with yourself. It's not just how you take yourself to go get like a manicure and pedicure. So self-care is part of self-love, and it's an important part of self-love. Self-love is taking time for yourself. It is how you talk to yourself. It is, again, making choices that actually make you happy and that feel good to you. And self-love is setting boundaries. It's saying no when you really mean no and saying yes when you really mean yes, and really protecting your time and energy so that you can be the most loving and impactful version of yourself in your family, in your workplace, in your life, anyone that you come in contact with. If you're constantly saying yes to things that are not supportive for you or that drain your energy, then it's not really serving anyone. It's contradictory, because our minds think that it is. We've been trained or taught that that's how we're supposed to act. And but really, I see so many women exhausted and drained and feeling unhappy in their bodies and feeling unhealthy. And that's not how we're meant to live. That's not what we're designed for here.
Yes, could not agree more. And you also mentioned the self-trust kind of being that intuition that we all have inside of us that a lot of us aren't connected with. Do you have any strategies, I guess, anything that you use, any tools to really regain that connection with your intuition?
Yes, I love, love, love talking about intuition. It's one of my favorite topics. And I love it because everyone can access it. It's something that's already within you. And it's learning how to re-listen to it. And I like to share this part because I think that it is really helpful to realize, like, why don't we trust ourselves? And it's because when you come in as a little kid, when you come in as a baby, you trust your parents and you look to your parents for guidance of how to navigate throughout the world. And while that is helpful when you are younger, it doesn't necessarily serve you when you're older, when you're constantly outsourcing your decision making to other people. And so over time, you learn to trust other people more than you trust yourself. And the rebuilding of trust within yourself, really, it sounds simple, and obviously it's a practice, but it's giving yourself time and space to listen to what your soul and your heart is telling you. Most people stay busy and they try to avoid sitting in meditation, or they don't want to slow down because they're afraid of what they're going to find. And that's because they're afraid that if their heart and soul is going to tell them something different to what they're doing, then they would have to change. And that means that your mind is going to be afraid of change. And that's really why we avoid slowing down and listening. So one of the questions really to start to ask your intuition is, what do I really want? And you can write this down in your journal, and you can start to write down and give yourself permission, maybe for the first time ever, to allow yourself to write down, what do you want and what feels good for you? And you don't have to take action yet. You don't have to do anything with it. It's simply opening up this understanding and this conversation with your higher self that, hey, I'm willing and I'm giving myself permission to feel good, and I'd like to explore that. So that's a beautiful practice that you can do. And another question that is a deeper question around intuition that you can start to journal on is, what am I pretending not to know? So there's something that's happening underneath the surface that is, you keep pushing away. Whenever that idea comes up or that thought comes up, you keep pushing it away. Maybe you have this idea for a business, but you think it's stupid, or you think no one else is going to believe you, or no one's going to support you, so you stuff it down. Maybe you know that you're not being treated well in your relationship, and you keep stuffing that down because you're afraid to leave, or you're afraid of what other people are going to think. So there's different ways that intuition can speak to us, but intuition speaks in feelings. It's like this gut feeling, and every woman knows what that feels like to have this knowing. And whether they listen to it or not, there's been a time in your life where you haven't listened to it and you've seen the effects of it. And then there's also been times where you just knew and you went with that feeling and followed that feeling. So intuition isn't in your mind, which is why it feels challenging for a lot of people because we're trained to be in our minds all the time. But it's in the body. Intuition is, how does that feel? Does that feel light or heavy? Does that feel good or bad? And without allowing yourself to ask those questions to yourself, you're never going to have the answer. So a starting practice with intuition is spending even 5 minutes a day in quiet time and writing in a journal or sitting in meditation and asking yourself the question, like, what would feel really good for me right now? What's one baby step that would feel really good for me? And starting there. So it's a conversation with yourself, with your higher self, that gets cultivated over time. And it gets easier. It's definitely a muscle that you have to like flex and practice for a while. And I think to bring it back to health and food, I really started to understand intuition with intuitive eating. Instead of following all the rules for eating, is learning how to listen to your body. So I think some ways to start to listen to intuition, you can start small. And you don't have to start with these big life-changing decisions. You can really start each day with, what do I feel like eating for breakfast? Like, what would feel really nourishing and good for me right now? Or how do I want to move my body today? What would feel really good for me right now? And starting to follow that. And you can't mess up on those. Like, you know, either you do it and it feels really good, or you do it and it doesn't feel good. And then you can reassess and try again. But I would start with smaller, rebuilding trust and integrity in smaller ways instead of starting with the big guys.
Yeah, I think a lot of the women listening are interested at least in that idea of intuitive eating and intuitive movement. Perhaps they're there or working on it or thinking about it at least. We talk about it, and it's such a beautiful thing to do, especially after you have been through, like it sounds like you have too, and I have as well, been through the restrictive, in an attempt to heal, you know, having to take all these foods out, and getting into this really restrictive place with food, and just being able to let that go. And I love that you call it self-trust, because that's all it is. And the word trust is so monumental. It's just like this huge word. And if you really do have trust with yourself, whether it's around something major like getting a divorce or quitting your job or something like that, or just what do you feel like having for breakfast? What would be nourishing and what sounds good? Something simple like that, just trusting your own body and your own intuition versus all the other noise that's out there. I mean, that is huge. And that's a big step, I think, for a lot of people.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a really, I see it as like taking your power back. I see it as being empowered in creating a life again that feels good for you and where you can be your best self versus everyone else. Everyone is self-interested. Everyone is going to give you their opinions based on what they feel is best for you. But if you keep trusting what they feel is best for you without checking in with yourself first, you're going to keep making choices that take you further and further and further off your path because you're listening to what everyone else wants and you're not checking in with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amy, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Share a little bit more about what you do, how you help women, where you're at, where everyone can find you so people can go check you out.
Thank you. Yeah. So since you have podcast listeners here, I'll start by sharing that I do have my own podcast and I'm so looking forward to having Sean on as a guest as well. So yes. My podcast is called The Feminine Frequency Podcast, and I also hang out on Instagram at Amy Natalie Co. And I do have a free meditation bundle, and you can find that on, you can go to my podcast and find it, or you can go to femfrequencybundle.com, and there's a meditation in there for intuition and for confidence and for self-love and lots of beautiful meditations on some of the topics that we talked about today. They're little mini meditations. So
cool.
Yeah, I think that those would be some great places to start. And right now I am waitlist only for my next round of Discover Your Confidence, which is going to happen in the fall. And I have some other really exciting offerings coming up shortly, just some really educational offerings. I'm going to be hosting an online summit called the Confident Woman Series, and just lots of really fun educational things coming up. So yeah, if you hop on my podcast, you'll stay updated with those, or come follow me over on Instagram and you'll find all of those goodies.
Wow. It sounds so fun. Thank you so, so much. And you shared such wonderful information and tools and tips for everyone today. So I'm excited for them to check you out. And yeah, we'll be continuing the conversation over on your podcast very soon, which I'm excited about too. So everyone can go check it out over there. Thank you so, so much. And we'll chat soon.
Thanks again.